This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My very special guest tonight on Bent Notes is a Melbourne-based drummer who weaves magic spells into his drumming, always appears relaxed and cheerful, and has worked with many, many musicians over the years, including the late and great Don Burrows. Don passed away last Thursday and leaves an amazing legacy of his music in recordings, his establishment of the first jazz music course at the Sydney Conservatorium, and many amazing musicians who have learnt so much from him. David Jones is one of those musicians, and he posted a moving tribute to Don on Friday and is with us here tonight on Bent Notes. And it's my pleasure to welcome back to Bent Notes David Jones. Welcome, David.
Thank you so much, David. Really great opportunity to chat with you about Don.
He was a great man, wasn't he?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was reflecting when someone passed away, and especially someone close to you, and he was a mentor for me for many years. And you reflect on the power of someone's life and the celebration of their legacy through you as well. But mainly, you know, I just noted so many tributes on Facebook and social media, and of course radio. I would imagine television as well. I think there was something on the news the day after as well, which is very fitting for someone like Don, because Don is a rare individual in Australian history, music history, and not just in jazz, but in music in general, and in terms of performance and recordings and education, hugely. Yeah, definitely.
What was Don's secret to being such a popular and friendly and warm musician? What was it about his character there?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, Don was always there for you, you know, whether you're a band member or an audience member who came up and just would want to chat, he would always be with you completely. And he's just so passionate about music all the time. You know, his whole life was threaded with music and giving through the music and through his experience too. I mean, I was privy to many times when he was giving workshops to younger musicians and school kids, and he was just so natural. I think that's why people loved him so much, and still do, and will forevermore, because when you're that sort of generous and humble too, very humble man. I mean, I've always noted how he, if anyone really paid him any sort of compliments, it was almost not deflecting it, because he was always very polite like that and respectful, but he would take it in such a way that was very inspiring for me as a younger man, and watching someone older really absorb it. But also, it was almost like a feeling, you know, I'm lucky to do this sort of feeling, you know. He always had a gratitude about being a musician, I feel.
Why do you reckon he had that gratitude? Was that because of his upbringing and being part of the music world?
Yeah, possibly. And also that he, you know, I know that he expressed to me and to others how much the scene has changed. And if you don't mind me telling you a bit of a story about that, because I asked Don, you know, what was it like when you were coming up through the first sort of part of your career? He said it was just a golden age of activities. And the way he described it to me was that they'd be doing a live big band radio session. Can you imagine? Live radio with a big band.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, in the hero, yeah. And then, you know, it might be a film session, playing along to film sequences of film music, and then it might be another recording session for an album, and then jingles, and he described, you know, if you might be doing a theatre show in the evening and then a jazz club after that. And you'd really think, well, okay, if someone had a bit of a natural gift and was practising and developing everything, if you had that much opportunity, you'd definitely get really good at what you do.
Well, you would indeed.
And he was grateful for that, because, you know, even my musical upbringing, I was very lucky doing six nights a week at some stage, you know, with 11 till 2, and I could do gigs before that, and I was doing sessions until sort of early 80s, when a lot of the electronic sort of thing took a lot of the live music gigs in terms of sessions. And yeah, I was on just on the cusp end of that, really. But he, yeah, Don had the golden age, I feel, of, and also of television too, that he was able to not only be featured on television as an artist, you know, as an instrumentalist. I mean, that was kind of unheard of, really, in Australia. He was one of the first, or with a few, very few others, really. Also that then he hosted his own television show for years at, through the ABC, you know, a one-hour program. I think it was on a Monday night. And
it was.
Even though it was 11 o'clock at night, apparently people, I remember me being really into that show and wanted to see it. And so school kids stay up to watch it for the hour. And
I remember being very tired on Tuesday mornings, David.
There you go.
I do have a few of them on Beta video cassette at home. I haven't watched them for many years, but I might have to get them out. Some of my reading suggested that because of his age early on, he was getting into music around about the time of the Second World War. And because of that, the musicians of the time, many of them had gone overseas, so he got a great opportunity to get out there into the areas where those musicians had disappeared from.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that part of it. Because what I'm finding now that he's passed away, there are many, many stories that people are telling of their experiences with Don and of Don's history too, that he was, you know, quite a private man in a way. I remember, jumping around a bit, but I'm just remembering that Don would open up about personal things only very seldom.
Yeah.
And in the seven years that I was in his band, there were some very special moments that I remember, probably about three of them. I know that sounds very rare and not many of them, but he was like that. He was quite private. So in terms of his history, a lot of things are coming out now that he might not have spoken about publicly or even in interviews, and people telling their wonderful stories, you know, of really travelling along with him, whether in a band or meeting him in different situations and finding out different things about Don. So, and, you know, such a history, incredible history of music in this country through Don and the things that he began, you know, that he was quite a pioneer.
A great pioneer, particularly from a perspective of kicking off the jazz education. We might talk about that shortly, David, but yeah, I've got a piece of music that has come off what was originally called, as I understand it, the Babinda Trilogy.
Yeah, gee, that's a big story, that one, yeah, about the three albums altogether. It was such a package. I'd love to have one. I actually don't have a package. It's, you know, three vinyl records with a tabletop booklet with all these beautiful photos of Don's photos and also some artwork from, I've forgotten the artist's name, beautiful artwork, which was also the cover art of the big three disc.
Yeah, it was reissued on CD in 2016, but the booklet has a beautiful image of Don on the front, a bit of artwork by a painter, but it doesn't. Mm. The booklet doesn't have, I think, all the images that you're talking about from the original issue. It would be lovely to see the original one.
But it was really quite a collector's item, I think, yeah.
Well, I've chosen a piece by Toots Thielsman and Don Burrows on flute, George Goller guitar, yourself playing drums, Julian Lee on the piano, with Craig Scott on the double bass. It is from the quintet album of that Babinda Trilogy, the second in the three-volume set, the first being duets, second the quintet, and the third is a beautiful orchestral setting of some music recorded back in 1990. This is called Bluesette.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
David, we're talking about the late Don Burrows, passed away last Thursday. We've just heard a piece of music called Bluesette from the Babinda Trilogy in which you were participating, particularly on that track. What memories does that bring you back for the time you spent in the studio for that album?
I've got to tell you, just listening to that again, I've just had a smile from ear to ear just listening to that again. It just brings back so many memories of the studio sessions, but also of so many wonderful concerts all around the country. And, and hearing particularly the amazing section, you know, where the George Goller on guitar and Don and Julian Lee are doing all those incredibly sort of intricate lines together, almost like Bach's sonata or something. It's just absolutely fantastic. I remember so many gigs like that, and I remember as a youngster, I'll come to the recording in a moment, but going to see Don and George, they did a duo, you know, set of performances for many years in different places, and it was just stunning. It was like seeing two people playing as though with one mind. It was absolutely incredible how connected they were musically and as friends, I would imagine, too, but because they were together for a long, long, long time and in different bands. And so with the recording, Julian Lee, a blind piano player who is still with us, but I think he's in his 90s too, in Sydney, he joined the band for some time, and Don had the idea to put together like a string and wind ensemble. So it's like not a major symphony orchestra, but an orchestral setting for some of the original, beautiful original pieces that he had and some other pieces. The other album was duos. And this was the first time for me getting into a room just with Don and working on some compositional ideas I had for just the two of us, with flutes, drums, gongs, glockenspiel. So I'd worked out a whole lot of little melodic things and shaped to some pieces, and he really helped me with that. And we came up with some really special things, and I know that he was remembering that for a long time too, as a special time we had together, you know, and that there was not just myself, of course, but there were duet pieces with all the members of the band. So we all got a chance to really develop something with Don, which didn't usually happen in the band situation. Because literally, we didn't have set lists. You know, Don would maybe run something in a sound check or just literally call it on the night.
That's so a challenge.
Really had to, I know, you had to add your wits about you, but also really know your stuff.
Oh,
and I used to sometimes really feel for bass players who, because Craig Scott was in the band for a long time with me, and but Dave Pudney was also in the band later. And sometimes Don would just call a tune and he'd just give an outline of the chords verbally off the mic and right, one, two, three, and we're in. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is trial by fire. You know, this is absolutely on the by the seat of your pants. But the great thing was it was always so super fresh. He would just really read the audience. Most times you really get it right, but I mean, sometimes he was in a ballad mood, so it was one of those nights where he just ballads all night. I remember that happening twice, and I think, oh no, I've got another ballad. for a drummer, that's very challenging. But most times he would have such a program that he didn't just have it in his head. You know, we'd do some Latin tunes, Brazilian things, all the jazz, some of the beautiful jazz standards, and we'd come up with arrangements on the fly, again, on the night, and that would become something a little bit set. So some of those came into that trilogy. But I remember, going back to the orchestral one, Julian Lee wrote such beautiful lines and orchestral settings, and that trilogy, unfortunately, at the time, it wasn't actually advertised as the name. It was just a catalogue number.
Oh, right.
Unless you knew the catalogue number, you couldn't buy it. And lots of people were complaining that they couldn't find it or whatever. Anyway, that's another whole story. But I know Don wasn't always most, fortunate with record releases. Some of them did really well, but others were almost sort of kind of buried a bit, you know.
Oh,
and you'd have to know how to get onto them. So it's tricky to find, you probably found this too, it's tricky to find it much online.
Yes.
And certainly it's rare to find the vinyl and CDs these days. But, it's out there somewhere. I mean, I just found something online yesterday with the Opera House. One of the very first gigs I did with Don was at the Opera House.
Yes.
So I just joined the band. It was Chris Kinzer from Holland and his band, and Don and the new band. I think I've been in the band only a few months, and beautiful gig. It became an album. So I just found it online yesterday and ordered. I thought, oh, gee, this has become even more important than ever before, especially with Don's passing here.
Yes, very much so. While we're talking a little bit about being on stage, I believe that he occasionally took the band off stage except for you and just said to the audience, we're going to leave you with David Jones.
I know. Oh, look, David, that for me that meant so much because he not only trusted me musically and as a person that that would be something he wanted to share with the audience. It meant a lot. And I think it also was an indication of how much he really highly regarded all his band members and would put them in front as well as being the leader. So he was not always just taking the limelight himself, but gee, what a leader. I mean, just hearing that track again before, what flute playing, the phrasing and the power and passion in what he does.
And right where it needed to be.
Right, yeah. And the time, the groove and the time right through it, all the jazz phrasing and swinging, oh my goodness. Just fantastic.
It really is. I did read part of your tribute, David. You made a very beautiful comment about learning by osmosis and learning from both Don and George, but yeah, using the osmosis process of just being in the room with them. What was...
Yes, definitely.
How long did it take you to realise that you're actually learning while you were performing with them?
To be honest, David, I didn't realise at the time, and I was in a very different stage of my life, which is, you know, the focus on Don is really important here. I won't go into my own story, but I had a big change in my life and Don really embraced wherever I was at. So it was a very special time, you know. I think that group, for me, looking back, was really, yeah, it was an education on the stage because Don and George were brought up in the time where, you know, Frank Sinatra was on the radio. I mean, that's phenomenal, you know, to be with people who were actually steeped in the jazz to the core, in their veins. I thought I was playing jazz before that, and of course I was, but not from the inside. The inside means that the insights that they were giving me and just playing with them, there was a feeling there that I was able to tap into and match. And especially also the Brazilian stuff too, because Don and George were one of the first people, you know, I think in general to go and play and not study so much, though, playing with some of the great in Brazil and bringing that back to Australia and Southern Hemisphere. So they're innovators, really, and pioneers in so many different ways. So I was beneficiary of, you know, and James was too, James Morrison and Craig. We really, whether we knew it or not at the time, we were just being soaked in deep traditions and you know, history and the stories. I mean, the stories the guys have come out with were just fantastic. It's so funny. It's interesting, David, you know, now that Don has passed off, I've always appreciated the time that I was with Don and before and after, you know, because of a lot of other experiences. I was able to invite him into my own band and come and guest on an album. You know, that just means so much to a younger player that you can do that with your seniors, but also with mentors. Yeah, but I didn't realise he was a mentor until much later when I moved back to Melbourne because I was living in Sydney for 14 years and born in Melbourne. But when I came back to hometown, I realised Don Burrows, Brian Brown, who I was in his group when I was 18, and my goodness, I've been so fortunate, you know, that, you know, going back to Don, that Don really looked after me.
He was a true national treasure, wasn't he, David?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, no question. And, you know, really quite a personality. I mean that in the true sense. I mean, fortunately, sometimes with television and media, people are famous for just being famous, but he was famous because of not only his skills, but his wonderful personality. And, you know, you remember when he was hosting that show. It was just so relaxed and at the same time deep, but also respectful of Australian musicians and overseas. He didn't see the, you know, you didn't feel there was a difference. That's what I got Don, really. He was honouring everyone's contribution, basically. And when there's that sort of set of qualities, people just love a personality like that.
He wasn't trying to be special. He was just special, you know, being a general everyday person who knew his stuff and loved communicating that to everybody else.
Yeah, and, you know, let's let's go straight to it as well, like the whole span of things. Yeah, you're definitely human, and, you know, you'd get really grumpy sometimes. So, so like all of us, we have our things that we, you know, need to work on or be aware of. And, you know, when he had his stroke, which was just a few years back, and dementia set in and couldn't play as much, and, you know, it's quite a dramatic thing. We thought we'd lose him at that stage, but, yeah, you know, I remember visiting for 45 minutes, and there's a whole lot of stories about this too. It's so beautiful. But basically, it was like a little kid. You know, it was like a little child, and it was just so beautiful to see, whatever that means on the bigger, you know, the larger scale of things on someone's personality and consciousness. But he really, it was just so refreshing to be with him in his later part of the life, just even a few times, and see how simple, in the best sense of the word, the simple we can become, you know.
Yeah. One little thing, just to finish up with, one simple little thing was you made a comment in your tribute, the talcum powder plastic bottle with rice inside it. Let's finish on that one.
Okay. Well, Don loved playing percussion. You know, when he wasn't playing a solo or playing the melody, sometimes in George's solo or in general, he'd pick up something and he was always totally on it. You know, it wasn't just a token picking up something and making a sound. Is totally grooving. But that talcum powder bottle with rice in it, it was such a great sound, and it became famous. It was like, you waited for that to come out. But I have to say, alongside of that, in terms of groove and time, he was apparently going to be a drummer as well, you know, like, or maybe starting with drumming. So every time he played, and also counting in, was amazing. I've got to give you the verbal thing.
Yeah.
What I put in the Facebook tribute was about his counting from the diaphragm. It was like this. So this is a ballad. So yep. We're about to do a ballad. It's going to be romantic, soft, gentle. One, and two, and three, and four. It's like, wow. Okay, I know exactly where that is, and it's not going to shift.
It's not going to shift, and that is Don Burrows.
That's Don, like everything right from the core, right? Totally passionate.
David, thank you so much for talking to me tonight about Don Burrows, Burrows. Great.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.